We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
Right. I'm sorry. I sound dull.
You sound dull here. Can we crank you up a little? Let's see.
Well, I don't know. See, I don't think that's the issue. Well, that does, but I think it's maybe, now I'm probably going to be too hot. You think?
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll watch the little things. You have to bear with us. We are not radio professionals.
As I don't think you need to tell us.
That's what I was thinking. Probably.
They're aware of that already.
Figured that out. Okay. So here it is. It's, again, the opening joke, Jeopardy. We invite our listeners to choose what opening joke we will use. Of course, you haven't had an opportunity to do that because we've just been recording these back-to-back. But someday you will.
That's right.
Okay.
Keep calling. The phone lines are now open.
Yes. All right. Again, please remember, this is not necessarily a joke. It may be an amusing anecdote, a humorous story, or a interesting bit of trivia.
Thanks for that disclaimer.
Okay. Well, because we've been getting some complaints about, aren't jokes supposed to be funny? Yeah. Aren't jokes supposed to be funny? Well, here's your options.
Okay.
We now have bad joke number two, as you took bad joke number one last time with Ray Causes.
It hasn't
bad
moved
jokes.
Up yet in the rankings. It's still number two.
Vegetable conspiracy. Laughter is the best medicine. And finally, the new category is why guys don't ask.
All right. Well, Alex, I'll take why guys don't ask for 200.
Okay. So, you know, this is a criticism. You get that from your wife, that we just, you know, if we get lost, we won't ask for directions. If we're in a store, we won't ask a sales clerk to tell us where things are.
Oh, all the time. We go to the hardware store. No, I'm not asking anyone. I'm going to...
We'll go through every single aisle.
That's exactly right. I know Lowe's like the back of my hand now.
That's right, because we don't want to ask anyone. Well, there's a reason for that, ladies. And the reason is we know the horrible things that happens when you ask somebody. So I'm up in Victoria, Minnesota, getting ready for the big wedding shower we're having for my stepson, Tim Shakel, who will be married in September. And the ladies, of course, are busy getting flower things made. My wife makes a vegetable flower bouquet.
Really?
We should post it on the internet if we had some way of posting
it.
So
it's edible?
Yes, it's edible.
Beautiful.
But it's all made out of
edible
vegetables. Yeah. So they're working hard on that. And, of course, I'm looking for some reason to get out of the house. Because you don't want to be around that when the women are buzzing, you know? Because they're going to ask
you. They might put you to work.
That's exactly
right.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know, yeah.
So they said, we need paper towels. We need paper towels. So I'll go get paper towels. Well, now, the problem is in Victoria, Minnesota, their grocery store closed. So they don't have any place. We're talking probably a six-mile journey to get to a Target or a Walmart or something. But they did have a Holiday gas station. You know?
Holiday gas.
Yeah, and that's kind of like a Casey's around here. They got a lot of stuff.
Sure, yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll go to the Holiday. They'll probably have paper towels. And sure enough, I get in there, and they've got the aisle. It's labeled cleaning supplies. And I think, well, there you go. There's where you're. And I go there, and there aren't any paper towels. Okay, now here's the thing. I can drive 6 miles to a Target where I know I will find paper towels, or I can go ask somebody.
Oh, boy, what do you do?
Okay, well, against my better judgment, I go up to the clerk and I say, do you have any paper towels? And he says to me, you mean like the kind that are on a roll?
Oh, no.
And now, of course, I'm flummoxed. I have no idea how to respond to that. I'm thinking, are there other kinds of paper towels? Would I want those? So I'm looking like a fool now because I don't know what to say to that.
Well, maybe you've been missing out all these years on these other paper towels.
But I feel like an idiot because So he goes over to the aisle. He grabs a package, and says, here you go. You know?
Yeah.
But it was toilet paper. It wasn't paper towels.
Mini paper towels.
Well, you know, if you take the full pack of toilet paper, it does kind of look like a package of paper towels.
Could, yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that the people who work at Holiday are not the brightest, apples in the bunch, because I almost made the same mistake, because it was there that the label said paper towels, and I grabbed the package. But here's the thing, Matt. I challenge our people to go out to the grocery store today and check this out, if this isn't true. Do you realize they do not label toilet paper?
What is it called? Toilet tissue?
Well, a lot of them don't have any name on it at all.
Tissue paper?
They don't have any name on it at all. It just has Charmin's or whatever. It doesn't even tell you what it is, you know? And the ones that do tell you what it is have it in very small print at the bottom. I'd never noticed this before.
We don't talk about those things.
Well, you get the impression
they're
embarrassed.
Except on Wrestling with the Basics.
That's right. What do you do for a living? I make toilet tissue. See, it's never been a problem in the past, because when you go to a regular store, they're all together. You know you're in the toilet paper aisle.
Yeah.
But here, where it's all put in one, you don't know.
Well,
yeah.
Well, what did you do, though? Did you buy the toilet tissue?
I've got one more thing, because you were actually alluding to it.
Okay, good.
So not only is it in fine print, but it's not toilet tissue. It's called bath tissue.
Bath.
And I'm thinking, in all my life, I've never, ever used this in the bath. But maybe I'm missing out on something here, too, since I didn't know there were other towels other than come on rolls.
That could get messy, I'm thinking.
So that's why we don't ask, because it's going to be embarrassing when we ask. And people are going to hand us toilet paper that we don't want, and we might take it home to our wives.
You should have just drove to Target.
I should have.
So what happened? Did you buy the toilet paper?
He went in the back and got us some paper towels. But I didn't want to say that part. Because now all the wives out there are saying, see, you should ask.
Never mind. But it probably took them a really long time, right?
That's right.
Should have went to Target.
And again, you're standing there embarrassed, holding the bag of toilet paper and waiting for the guy to come with the paper towels. Okay, that's too much. We wasted too much time on that. Fruits of the Spirit, Matt. But thank you for letting me share that with you. This is why we don't ask. It's just, you don't know what's going to happen. It's too embarrassing.
You never know. Yeah. I shouldn't have asked.
Yes, you shouldn't have. Fruit.
Oh boy.
Fruit of the Spirit, which that just excites me all these years, 61 years old, and I always was thinking it's the fruits of the Spirit. But no, it's one package, one bunch of grapes,
said. I like that picture, a cluster of grapes,
cluster
with these individual grapes.
Of
things like love and joy and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Still haven't got them down.
I still haven't got them down. No,
okay.
Anyway, last week we talked about, we set the stage here. We're doing a sermon series over to Ascension on Fruit of the Spirit. And last week we read those verses from Galatians 5. Because again, this isn't just something that that Pastor Matt here is pulling out of thin air. No, these are actually from the Bible. And
not like most of your sermons. But this one came from the Bible.
That exception. No, I typically try to base it on God's word, you know. But
yes.
Yeah, it's good material. But Paul contrasts two things. He contrasts the works of the flesh with then the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about a little last Saturday morning about how those works of the flesh flow out of our own sinful flesh, our own sinful selves.
Yeah.
But those fruit of the Spirit flow out of the Holy Spirit, our connection to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We talked about that picture of the we as branches connected to the vine and bearing fruit. That's just what happens as Christians, as those who are connected to Christ, who are nourished by God's word and the sacraments, that's what happens. Good. So I think this week we're finally ready to move on to that first fruit, the fruit of love.
That is the first fruit.
Yes.
Love.
Love. Okay. And I think that's interesting. Perhaps Paul lists that as the first one for a reason. Perhaps I think it arguably could be the most important of the fruit.
Well, and isn't it kind of it's the controlling fruit for all the rest of them too? Because doesn't Paul elsewhere say in Corinthians, apart from love, you know, nothing's really good?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah. Just like in many ways, when we look at the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, it kind of sets the stage for the rest of the commandments.
That's right.
Having no other gods. And here, love as that fruit of the Spirit sort of sets the stage, I think, for the rest of the fruit as we go through the other eight fruit.
So actually, the rest of these fruit, again, and I like your concept of it being a bunch, see?
Yes.
We're not picking and plucking and choosing and separating these. These are not a division. That, by the way, was one of the works of the flesh, division. Mm-hmm. But this is a unity, and at the heart of that unity is the fact that this is all involved in love.
Right.
If you were joyful and it wasn't a joy that flowed from love, then that wouldn't have been a fruit of the Spirit, would it? It would have been back in the works of the flesh. Because sometimes in the works of the flesh, we are joyful, aren't we? But it has nothing to do with love. That's for sure. Okay.
So, and I think the reason why that love is the key one and why it flows out of love is because, after all, God is love.
And
because God is love, he's the one that we're connected to, after all. Christ our Savior, that's what the fruit flows out of, that connection to the one who is love.
All right. Wait a second here.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking, Pastor, but that's why I'm going to be sleeping with my boyfriend, because I love him. So that's a fruit of the Spirit then, right?
Wait a second. First of all, John, why do you have a boyfriend? Second of all...
Well, it is a new age, Matt. It is a new age. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, I'm doing this because I love the person. Yeah.
No, excellent point. Because love, boy, that word love, probably one of the most often used words in our language, but the least understood words in our language, too, just because of that. We get love mixed up with... I think with lots of different things, but most often probably lust.
Yes.
I would guess.
Yeah.
With lust and a physical attraction, and lust in terms of even a sinful desire for someone who isn't your spouse.
Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which, interesting, that's what starts the works of the flesh list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Paul's works of the flesh list, it stands in stark contrast then to the fruit of the Spirit, and especially this fruit of love.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that out, because so often we get our definition for love that we come up with ourselves, or that we see in the movies or wherever, so often gets confused with things that are listed not in the fruit of the Spirit, but in the works of the flesh, like that sexual immorality and things. So no, we're not talking about lust.
Yes,
good. But we're talking about love. I think sometimes we also use that word love just without giving it any thought at all. You know, I love pizza. I love, whatever.
Which my response when my kids say that is, why don't you marry it?
Why don't you the mature...
That's the grandpa
grandfather
joke.
Grandfather response. So no, we're not talking about just this casual type of love. We're not talking about lust. Type of love that
By the
we've confused.
Way, when you're telling these little stories,
very good.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Okay, so what is it then, Matt?
So the point is, the point is, we look to God's word for the definition of love.
Okay, I'll buy
and
that.
Especially when we're talking about this love that flows from God, I think that we look at him as the example. Okay, what is love? Well,
good.
Let's look to the one who is love.
I'll buy that. That sounds good.
And I think that, oddly enough, the place where we most clearly see love demonstrated is in the most unlikely of places that you expect to find love, and that's in a place of execution, where they would put people to death.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, I'm talking about the cross of Calvary. There in Jesus' death, we see love, at least self-sacrificing, selfless kind of love that God demonstrates, that Jesus, our Savior, demonstrates for us. And when we look at that whole account, when we look at Jesus' beatings, when we looked at his actual death, all of that happens because he loves us. He could have come down off that cross. He could have avoided the beatings, but love really is why he went to that cross. Love is why he stayed on the cross. When people mocked him and said, come on down if you're the Christ. No, he stayed there out of love for us. And it's really that selfless, that sacrificial type of love that our Savior has for us. And it's also that love that's not just our example of how to love, but also the reason why we love, and what our love then for others flows out of, that love of Christ for us.
I just have this picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, and of course they're mocking him, and I can, don't make me come down there. But no, like you say, and even the thief next to him mocking and making fun of him. But then when that thief says, remember me, says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So you're right. That is love. That is this willing to sacrifice, to give up of ourselves what God has done for us for our blessing and benefit, which it occurs to me contrasts with the worldly love, Matt, because it really is about what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
When I say I love you, it means, well, you do things that make me happy, and so I'd like to do some things to make you happy, too. But it's not about this selfless love, like you said, this sacrificial love.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That selfless kind of love. And I think we see that one of the hymns we sang really explains that, too. I really like this hymn that was written in the 1960s from Ethiopia. And what's kind of unique about this hymn, it's in Lutheran service books. So it was written by a 16-year-old girl in a hymn competition. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So the language is pretty straightforward. It's not real complex, especially the refrain. But listen to this, penned by this teenage girl in Ethiopia. Again and again, the refrain asks the same question, and it's focused on the cross of Christ, and asks, what kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? You showed your love, Jesus, there to me on Calvary. And then it goes on and it says, for me, you gave all your love. For me, you suffered pain. I find no words, nothing can. Your selflessness, there's that word I wanted to really focus on, your selflessness, explain. And just this, I love that hymn because it just acknowledges that we stand in awe of that love of Christ for us. No words can even express Christ's love for us. That's selflessness. And I love how the refrain even brings that out. For me, you suffered all. For me, you gave all your love. All of this that Jesus does in the cross is out of love, and not just a generic type of love, but a love specifically for me, for you. For our listeners today, it's for us, for you, that beautiful love of Christ.
And that's the crucial part of it, too, isn't it, Matt? It's just not that God, in some kind of general way, said, well, I'm gonna die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. But that very, very touching thing that, no, he actually died on the cross for your sins, Matt Clark, and for my sins, John Lukumsky, and for each individual that happens to be listening to us today.
Yeah.
Which, again, brings us back to what you were talking about last week about how we get connected. Because, right, he's the vine, we're the branches. The whole baptism thing. Because then in baptism, everything that Jesus did on the cross now belongs to you. Right? Isn't that what Paul says?
Yeah.
You've been crucified with him. You've been resurrected with him. Everything that he did on the cross now is yours.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I would just say, you know, and that's what our love, because we're connected to him, now that love flows from us. And I think maybe, again, like we talked about last week, these fruit of the Spirit, not these commands of law, but know who we are in Christ. And so I think maybe John puts it best, or at least most succinctly, in 1 John 4, where he says, we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
Because Christ first loved us. It was chiefly shown there on the cross of Calvary for us. Because of that, we love. That's just how it is. We love our neighbor. We love our Lord. We show that love. That love flows out from our lives.
And you know, you can clearly see that in the contrast to the good works we do under the law. Because the good works under the law, we're always kind of figuring out, how does this affect me? You know, so will this be good for me? Will people like me?
Yeah.
Will this impress people? Will I get some reward for this? So it's not that we won't do good works, but it is all about how it affects me. And I like that phrase you there. It's selfless. And again, it fits in really nice with the image of fruit. Because again, tomato plants don't think about bearing tomatoes. They just do that. And when I truly do something that is loving and caring, I didn't think about doing it. In fact, ironically, Matt, it strikes me, my flesh might have thought about doing just the opposite.
Yeah.
People don't understand this, but when we pastors get calls at 2 o'clock in the morning because someone needs us to come to the hospital, we don't jump out of bed and say, thank God I get to do a loving work here. I get to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's probably not how our flesh responds. And yet, we do it.
Yeah.
And we don't really even think about it. It's just, well, it's what we want to do and we need to do it. It's just, it's the fruit.
You bet. I think of Matthew 25, where, you know, you have the sheep and the goats, and Jesus commends those on his right for visiting him, you know, when he's sick, for giving him something to drink. And they said, well, when did we do this, Lord? We don't remember this.
Exactly.
And it's just that in our day-to-day lives and our living out of our lives as Christians, those works of love just flow out. Not to earn favor with God, not to earn our salvation, but no, that just happens. That's who we are in Christ. It's just an outflowing of his love for us.
Yeah, that's it.
Good. Well,
want to move on to another
one? Yeah, you want to start joy? So far we get with joy
love,
today.
Joy, okay. Yeah, that's the second one.
Love, joy.
Okay.
You know, so I think it's, first of all, I think it's important to just acknowledge that the fruit of the Spirit doesn't begin. The fruit of the Spirit is love, happiness, peace, patience. No, it's love, joy, peace, patience.
Okay, so you're suggesting there's a difference between happiness and joy?
I would suggest there's a difference between happiness and joy, at least that type of joy that's this biblical-based type of joy, if we get our definition from the Scriptures. Yeah, I think there's a difference between that and happiness. You bet.
Well, again... Where's it at?
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories,
all right.
Here's
all
a
right.
good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
So I'm not arguing that what you said is wrong, but so what is the difference?
Okay,
what is the difference
so let's get into
happy
it here.
And joyful?
Well, I think one way to define what joy is to just to contrast it with happiness.
Okay.
So one contrast here that I want to share is happiness is so often from ourselves. You know, we can make ourselves happy
okay.
for a while.
All right,
you know,
yeah.
We can
yeah.
do that. But joy really comes from not ourselves, it comes from God.
Okay. All right, so the source. That sounds
like
source, a good point.
The
yeah.
source, that's one thing.
Again, the works of the flesh. It's what I'm doing.
Yes,
I can make
very
myself
good.
Happy.
Know the source.
Okay, but this has got to come from outside of it.
So you look at the different examples of joy throughout the Scriptures. By the way, if you count up the number of times that word joy is used in the Bible, it's all over the place.
Is that right?
Yeah, in just the New Testament alone.
How many times is it used?
I'm glad you asked. In the New Testament alone, in some form, that word joy comes up 326 times.
Wow, you've got a lot of extra time on your hands, don't you?
It took me a while, but I got it done.
All right, 326.
326, all which, right. you know, really says that Christian life is one characterized by joy. That fruit of the Spirit is that outflowing. Okay, anyway, I'm going off the subject again. But the source of joy is from the Lord. So I think of that example of when that word joy comes up in the Psalm 51 in
yes.
particular. So you have David who writes that psalm because of that episode with Bathsheba, and I won't recount the whole thing, but David, in a nutshell, is seeking his own happiness.
Yes.
His own pleasure. And
the works of the flesh.
The works of the flesh. So it begins with this lustful look at a married woman, which leads to sleeping with her, which leads
sexual
to
sexual immorality.
Down the list, which leads to lies and deceit and cover up, which leads even to murder of her husband. All of this to bring pleasure, to bring happiness, to try to create that for himself. Now, again, happiness in and of itself, though, isn't bad. Okay, it's not wrong to be happy.
Good.
Okay, I want to make that clear. But David's kind of happiness seeking is wrong. That is clear. So the Lord sends in this prophet Nathan to point out his sin, to speak that word of law. David says, I've sinned against the Lord. He confesses. He repents. To which Nathan shares those beautiful words of gospel. The Lord has taken away your sin. Beautiful. So then David writes Psalm 51. So here we go. Again, those words that are pretty familiar. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. Okay, there's that word that I've been building up to. The joy of your salvation. So the point is, our own sinfulness robs us of joy.
Yes.
It snuffs out our joy.
Our
takes
seeking
away that
for
joy.
Happiness actually is contrary to joy. Yes.
If that happiness is sinful, that pleasure, it's contrary to joy. And nothing will restore that joy. Not covering up our sin, not denying our sin, not rationalizing our sin, except for one thing, and that's repenting of our sin.
Right.
A repenting of that sin and then looking to Christ, our Savior, the one we're connected to in the first place, for that forgiveness of sins. That's how joy is restored. It's nothing that we do on our own, but again, it's a gift from God.
And I like that phrase, the joy of thy salvation.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
You've given it back to me. I'd lost it there for a while, but now it is restored. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the source, that's one big difference. Now we're running out of time, so we're going to have to pick up with joy next week. But, you know, next week I just want to talk about how, as Christians, we may not always be happy. And in fact, that's okay. Because guess who else wasn't always happy?
Jesus. Yeah.
And if Jesus wasn't always happy, then why should we expect to always be happy? But yet, good news is, we do have that joy. So we'll talk about that more next week.